Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm once again here with Rob McKenzie, who's a ruling elder down at Westminster OPC in Indian Head Park, Illinois. He's also an MDiv student at RTS Orlando and is working for IV Press. So a wonderful representative. We got the trifecta. Thanks for coming back, Rob.
My business card is huge.
You were
huge.
Just here.
Huge.
Yes. It's great. Huge. It's great to have you. Great to have you joining us all the way from New Jersey now. Huge. New York does that too. And we also have Bob Tarullo, who's the pastor of Westminster OP in Indian Head Park. Welcome back, Bob. It's good to talk to you as well.
Thanks, Cam. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, we're talking about some more books from InterVarsity Press. Today we're going to be speaking about two more on biblical theology. First, John Goldengay's book, Biblical Theology, The God of the Christian Scriptures. So this is a heavy, heavy duty book. I mean, I've got a galley proof copy here printed on 8.5 by 11 paper, and it is fat. That's a serious book. Continuing on his Old Testament theology. And then we also have a new volume in the New Studies in Biblical Theology series. That's that silver cover series that's edited by D.A. Carson. This book is titled Unceasing Kindness, A Biblical Theology of Ruth by Peter H.W. Law and Gregory Goswell. So we're going to speak about both of these to start off. So IVP is doing a lot of biblical theology. Not that they haven't in the past, but
it's definitely something that we've picked up on to increase. It seems to be very popular,
yeah,
and it's also very beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. I very much admire the wealth of resources on BT coming out. This series has been out for a while. Do you have any, was it been like 15 years, 10 years?
Probably 15 series. Years probably when it started. Yeah, yeah. And there's about 38 books. Volumes or so. Originally, it was supposed to only have about 15, but they just kept coming out. And we're not complaining.
D.A. Carson keeps editing. Yep. People keep writing.
And yeah.
They're all interesting.
I mean, as a student of the word, I'm not complaining.
No, yeah. Neither am I. I've read several and used many for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Goldengay's book first. I have two of Goldengay's Old Testament theology. I think there are three of them, right?
There are three,
Large volumes on Old Testament theology. Right. And it's interesting here that he mentions as he was writing that volume in this new one, Biblical Theology,
right.
He says while he was writing his Old Testament theology, he said he always had this nagging voice in his head that this should have been a biblical theology and that an Old Testament theology seemed a little strange or odd. But he said, then again, it's not as odd as only writing a New Testament theology.
Right.
But I would argue that both are, and all three are well worth it. I mean, we can look at a portion of Scripture, especially from a particular author, and look at what it's saying in its own specific context and then expanding in concentric circles, looking at the wider context and the canon available at the time and then looking at the entire canon because we know the primary author. But Goldengay here is now writing a biblical theology, which in many ways flows out of or continues the work that he did in his Old Testament theology. So he says he has perhaps a silly hope that maybe some of the readers of this book who haven't read the OT theology will go back and maybe read it.
Because he can be more comprehensive in those volumes.
And he often cites and refers people to lengthier discussions in the Old Testament theology. Right. He had more room to do things there.
But he starts with this one. He's actually starting from a New Testament foundation, and he's going back. He's trying to look through the lens of the New Testament, which is interesting because I would have thought that he would have started from an Old Testament standpoint because that's where all his work has been done in. But he's kind of going back. Maybe he's done that. Now let's do the New Testament part and let's link that together, which I just found fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, IVP's description of it in their catalog, part of it says that he's hermeneutically dexterous, biblically expansive, and nourishing to mind, soul, and proclamation.
Oh.
Right? So, I mean, full breadth.
Sounds pretty good, and it's all accurate. And it's really, because that really is how he does it. That's why there's such big volumes. It's really the first truly biblical theology from in a generation. I mean, we just don't have anything like this in the market, and I think it's going to fill a need. As he was saying, that just having the Old Testament almost seems odd. But when you have Old Testament theology classes, that's what you need.
Yeah, it's significant.
But this is something, again, that just kind of meets, I think, a hole in the marketplace.
Well, of course, our listeners are well familiar with biblical theology. We have a Voss group that meets or records roughly once a month, and we go through about, I don't know, half a page of Voss. No, we go through about 3 or 4 pages, maybe, on a good day, of Voss's book, Biblical Theology. But there are a whole range of views and definitions about biblical theology, what it is. And so at the beginning of Golden Gay's book here, he says, in this book, I am asking, what understanding of God and the world and life emerges from these two testaments, the Old and the New? That, for me, as he states it, is the question of biblical theology. And then he starts to speak about definitions, where he says, definitions of biblical theology have distinguished between the theology contained in the Bible and the theology that accords with the Bible. My aim lies somewhere between these alternatives. And he speaks about his influences. He speaks about the relationship to systematic theology. He says, when a theology student in his first term heard that I was writing a biblical theology, he inferred that it was therefore a systematic theology. It isn't. It isn't. Systematic theology works out the implications of the scriptures in a way that makes sense in its author's own context, using the categories of thought that belong in that context. I don't disapprove of that enterprise, but I'm trying to avoid undertaking it. Voss will word things differently and have some slightly different definitions, but this is still very valuable. The last thing I'd like to read is his section on the aim of his book. My aim is not to identify a common core or underlying unity that the biblical writings share. The nature of such a common core is inclined to be thin. It's a little provocative, but he says, I am seeking to identify the building that might be constructed from the materials that the writings offer in a way that does justice to them. So I think in one light we could say he's looking at this, trying not to over-harmonize, not that it can't, that the Bible isn't harmonious and that there is one divine primary author, but he's trying to look at the distinctives of each book and each author and each time period, all the contours and the uniqueness of all the particular portions of what God has revealed to us, and trying to understand them on their own terms, but also how they fit into an overarching structure, a building, he says, that is unified and built by God. So that's the value here of Golden Gay's book and what he's attempting to do.
Right. He really wanted to try to look at some of these topics in a different way, a different light, trying to turn them upside down, not to come out with something that is a strange theology or something that's anti-biblical, but just let's look at this a little bit differently than it has been looked at in the past, and let's see what else we can learn.
Well, John Golden Gay is definitely a heavyweight in terms of his intellect. And
yes.
So this is an important book, and if anyone's interested in biblical theology and doing some, you know, research and certainly developing any biblical theology, I would say that this is probably a must-have.
I agree. I think it's become standard in the industry, or standard for schools and seminaries, and this is just what you have to have.
It matters, yeah.
It does.
You have to,
it's
you
an
have
important
to deal
work.
With it and reckon with
yeah.
it. So John Golden Gay's Biblical Theology, the God of the Christian Scriptures, is forthcoming, I assume?
Is yeah. absolutely. But again,
this one has been typeset, though, that I'm looking at in the galley proof, so maybe it's a little
forthcoming. More forthcoming. all the books that we've been talking about should be out by middle of November.
Nice.
But any can be pre-ordered right now.
Yeah. Let's speak about that for a second. Is that code still in effect? It may be. If you're listening before the end of October, right?
Yes. October 31st.
To put an order in through the website.
Yes, but the order is for the RCS.
Yes.
And we have a special with the RCS, the Reformation Commentary on Scripture, that to the end of October, it can be ordered either through our website, or you can always call and talk to our wonderful call center people who would be happy to talk to you. The source code is 405-56, and that is for 40% off any RCS volume and a $2 flat rate shipping.
Yeah, that's a really significant commentary series we spoke about in our last episode of Reformed Media Review. But you can get 40% off, $2 flat rate shipping. But I assume, is it true that you could buy, also add other books to your cart? The coupon will apply to the RCS volumes, right?
Yes, the coup. Right.
So exactly. While you're there, get a great deal on RCS volumes, and then add the forthcoming titles to
absolutely.
Your cart.
So order everything in our catalog, and get 40% off the RCS volumes. And like the way you think.
I'm gonna cash in my bitcoins and do it. So. I'm joking. I think the price is going to go up, so I'm not cashing in my bitcoins.
Right. No, you should bury. You should bury those bitcoins in the backyard.
Bet the market.
Oh, man. Well, they've got another book here that I was also excited to see. I've preached through the book of Ruth. I think a lot of young ministers preach through the book of Ruth, but it's a wonderful book to cut your teeth on. Mm. Highly biblical, biblically theological, yet also drives us to Christ, because we have the great David right. tradition here and the Son of David. And the title here is Unceasing Kindness, A Biblical Theology of Ruth. It's in the NSBT series, New Studies in Biblical Theology, edited by D.A. Carson, but the authors here are Lau. I imagine it might be Lau.
Leave it to Lau.
Or Low. I don't know. L-A-U. And then Gregory Goswell. And so this is a quick read. It's good. It's solid. It's rich. But it's not going to take you forever. The Golden Gate book is
huge.
It's a textbook. The formidable. Golden Gate book is a textbook.
It's huge. It's formidable.
It is.
This book is not a booklet by any stretch, but it in manuscript form, it's coming in at about 150 pages. But it hits the high points, and it does it well, really addressing the book of Ruth. I really, really like this book, but what can you tell our listeners about it in summary form, Rob?
Well, the authors, what they're trying to do is actually focus on the kindness of God. Mm-hmm. And they actually trace it, not just in Ruth, but actually throughout Scripture itself, looking at other areas that God is kind, or that kindness is used within the biblical story. And in Ruth, of course, we see that in Ruth's kindness to Naomi and Boaz's kindness to Ruth, but also in just the general people coming in. She was from Moab, and she's coming into Israel. And she's being treated kindly mm-hmm. by the Israelites, mm-hmm. Which is the way it should be. That we are not called to ostracize people because they're different or because they're from another culture. Mm-hmm. And the authors really focus on that.
I really like that. And the authors do an excellent job, too, of summarizing their points. But they have several chapters here that are gearing towards different themes.
Yes.
They want to address the different traditions that have read the book of Ruth and understand how Ruth relates. So this is in a sense the biblical theological aspect of this particular study. And they don't see that these different things are certainly competitive with one another, but the relationship and the way that Ruth has been read or treated by different groups of people, different traditions, helps us to understand different characteristics. They draw out particular characteristics of Ruth that we might not understand if we didn't have those particular perspectives. So some things that are really interesting is looking at the relevance of the book of Ruth to issues that were faced by the returnees in the early restoration period. Mm-hmm. They write, as depicted in Ezra Nehemiah. And then they speak about how these books were collected and organized and ordered into a canon. There's some really mm-hmm. significant things that can be said about Ruth's right. place in the canon.
Yeah.
Especially for this tradition having appeared just after Proverbs 31, for example.
Right.
Where you have that ideal woman and then you are introduced to the book of Ruth. Right. There's something to be said about that.
Absolutely. It's not an accident.
It's not happenstance.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And whether or not you view that, obviously that's in God's providence that happens.
Right.
Whether you want to assign divine intent and special revelational meaning to the ordering of the books of Scripture, that's an issue for another day.
Agreed.
But regardless, there's no accident that Ruth appears right after the Proverbs 31. Also,
right.
that it falls where it does in relation to Samuel and some other books in the Old Testament. It's significant. The David tradition, for example.
Right. Yeah. Kings. Well, they talk about kingship Mm-hmm. And the idea of course, David is the king, mm-hmm. and he comes from a very virtuous woman. Mm-hmm. So we see that connection.
Yes. And so we have Ruth and Boaz the kinsman redeemer, which mm-hmm. is demonstrating kindness. And then Ruth becomes part of the line of David, which, of course, is the line of Messiah, our Savior Jesus Christ. And an outsider is mm-hmm. brought in, included. Right. And is listed in the New Testament genealogies. Rahab, another a similar theme there, but yeah. Not in the same way, but very similar. This is significant. And there are some other things that the authors bring up. One is the famine motif, and they address that in chapter 6 of the book, as well as God's hiddenness and human agency. Mm-hmm. In chapter 7, we see God's hand at work in many ways of causing things to be. And the author right. of Ruth brings this about almost in a way where it says, and it just so happened that, you know, such and such yeah. was, or, you know, Boaz was there, or that there was this right. relative, or that, you know, that he decided to make his workers leave, you know, some extra food in the rows for her, et cetera. Like it was just a coincidence. But of course, the way he's phrasing things, the author is phrasing things, is that God's providential hand, his care is there, and his hand is at work to provide for this outsider who sought refuge
right.
among the people, the covenant people of God.
And Boaz shows this kindness without, he doesn't look for anything in return.
Right.
When mm-hmm. she does turn to him, he's, you know, almost embarrassed. I mean, you've come to me, and blessed are you that you would do that. But he wasn't expecting it.
No, yeah. No, that's a beautiful thing. And Boaz is truly a noble man,
right.
and a godly man, and he's depicted that way. And it's a beautiful book. And this title here, Unceasing Kindness, demonstrates a lot of those themes for us in the book of Ruth. I'm going to encourage people to read this. You could read this, and it's not going to become overly burdensome. So, by that I mean that if you are doing a Bible study on Ruth, you could easily read this book, and it would inform much of your study. If you're preaching through the book of Ruth, or plan to soon, or if you just want to sit down and read and take in some of the breadth and the beauty of a book from a biblical theological perspective, then this definitely is one I would encourage. Once again, Rob, we've got that code for the Reformation Commentary Series, RCS. It's 40% off, $2 flat rate shipping on the RCS volumes. What's the code again?
Right, the code is 405-56. And if, for some reason, that does not work in your online cart at www.ivypress.com, then just give us a call. And the phone number is actually at www.ivypress.com.
Awesome.
And we'll make sure you get the right deal.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, for speaking about these books, for bringing some galley-proof copies, but also for bringing a deal to our listeners. Really appreciate it.
That's my pleasure.
I also want to mention, I forgot to do this in the last episode, but I do want to encourage people to listen to Theology Simply Profound, I should say, because I've got the entire panel of the podcast here. And so guys are doing a great job, and I'm hearing things now because we had you as guests on the program before, so now people are coming back to me and telling me that they're not listening to your podcast.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah,
Keep listening. We enjoy doing it.
They thank me. And I'm like, don't thank me. Let's thank these guys for producing the podcast. That's good. They thank me for telling them about it. I'm like, I got nothing to do with it. But anyway, it's a great program. Theology is Simply Profound, and that's at westminsteropc.com, is it?
Westminsteropc.org.
.org,
but
better.
We are also now found at theologysimplyprofound.org.
.org. Yeah,
it'll bring you to the same place, but
it just sounds cooler to say theologysimplyprofound.org.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a domain name now.
You didn't get awesome.church? I tried to buy reform.church. It was taken.
It was taken.
I tried to buy hope.church. I tried to buy all my friends, like grace.church, westminster.church. Tried to buy them all.
All taken.
Most of them all.
What about dot church? Because you just go to dot church?
Dot church.
Yeah, dot church. Yeah.
Well, it's probably gone now since you mentioned it. Anyway, we appreciate that. Information about all this stuff's available online at reformedforum.org. We'll have information in the episode description, as well as you can head on over to ivypress.com and find out more information about that. These books, as well as other forthcoming books, we'll have more to talk about later. But until then, this has been the Reformed Media Review. Take up and read.